Hello, my name is Chrissy Champagne. You are listening to Residue, a true crime podcast dedicated to keeping you paranoid. But we're going to get a little spooky today. And I do want to add in something. I had to re-record this intro about 45 minutes before it goes live. And that is because I'm now convinced that I'm a part of the poltergeist curse. Obviously, I'm kidding. It was just a minor malfunction on a new true crime podcast. Lady that doesn't know how to edit, but she's learning. It's me. I'm the lady, and I'm doing pretty fucking good. After seeing the movie Jaws, not only was I afraid of the beach, but I was scared that Jaws would get me in a swimming pool. In my bathtub. Steven Spielberg did that to me. And if I ever fell asleep on the couch and woke up to the sound of static on my television, well, Steven Spielberg also instilled that fear in me. The man made me afraid of a television. The film Poltergeist was one of the scariest movies that ever graced my six-year-old eyes. It was the 80s. I watched a lot of scary things I shouldn't have as a kid, but one haunting little phrase sent chills down my spine. But one burning question remains decades later. Was the set of the film Poltergeist cursed? Or is it just this string of bad luck or coincidences? I'll let you decide. This week's episode will bring a little spookiness to Residue. A little background on the film Poltergeist. Poltergeist was made in 1982, and it is an American supernatural horror film directed by Tobe Hooper and written by Steven Spielberg, Michael Grace, and Mark Victor from a story by Steven Spielberg. It stars Joe Beth Williams, Craig T. Nelson, and Beatrice Straight, and was produced by Spielberg and Frank Marshall. Spielberg had originally planned on directing the film, but he was contractually unable to direct Poltergeist because he was already in the middle of directing E.T. with that studio. So Tobe Hooper was selected based on his work on The Texas Chainsaw Massacre and The Funhouse. Spielberg, before the release of Poltergeist, had already become a household name thanks to now iconic movies like Jaws, E.T. the Extraterrestrial, and Raiders of the Lost Ark. However, he had never worked on a supernatural horror movie before Poltergeist. To help bring that vision of terror to life, director Tobe Hooper was slated to direct. With the two working on the movie, a unique collaborative duo was formed. However, an iconic controversy was formed over who actually directed Poltergeist. Though the claims were made to believe that Spielberg was the director of Poltergeist, it was revealed by the movie's actor, Craig T. Nelson, that Hooper was the man behind the camera. Actor Craig T. Nelson explained that Spielberg, as a producer, still had a hands-on approach, but the great who really directed Poltergeist Mystery would not go down in history as the greatest unsolved mystery surrounding that film set. The great debate would be whether or not this movie was cursed. Poltergeist, set in cookie-cutter suburbia, was a film about strange and creepy happenings that plagued an average California family, the Freelings. Steve, played by Craig T. Nelson, Diane, played by Joe Beth Williams, a teenaged Dana, played by Dominique Dunn, 8-year-old Robbie, played by Oliver Robbins, and 5-year-old Carol Ann, played by Heather O'Rourke. Ghosts communicate with the family through their television set. Initially, they're friendly and playful, but the spirits turn menacing, and when Carol Ann goes missing, Steve and Diane turn to a parapsychologist and eventually an exorcist for help. Life is turned upside down when their daughter Carol Ann is abducted through her bedroom closet by a group of ghosts who are under the control of a monster demon called the Beast. After learning that their house sits atop a Native American burial ground, the Freelings spend their time attempting to retrieve Carol Ann. With Poltergeist's success, the film became plagued by tragedy. Jo Beth Williams played Diane Freeling, a stay-at-home mom who holds everything together. In an interview with Vanity Fair, Jo Beth Williams stated, "I hadn't read that many movie scripts. I loved the story, I loved the family connection, and when it came to descriptions of the effects and that kind of stuff, I just skimmed over that. There was this one line that says, Diane falls into muddy swimming pool with skeletons, and I just passed over that. I didn't even notice it." And that brings us to the pool scene. And we all know, if we've seen Poltergeist, what the pool scene is. If you believe the film was cursed, well then this scene right here might have been the reason. Towards the end of the film, Jo Beth Williams' character jumps into a pool that the family is having built in the backyard, so it's not quite finished, it's not filled, it's still just dirt and muddy, it's pouring rain outside, and the character that Jo Beth Williams is playing, Diane, she jumps into the pool to try to find her daughter, Carol Ann. Now, while the character is swimming through this murky, muddy, disgusting water during a horrible thunderstorm, she starts to see skeletons rise up. So she is now surrounded inside of this water by a ton of skeletons. And these weren't just Hollywood prop skeletons. These were real human skeletons. The special effects artist who worked on Poltergeist was named Craig Reardon, and Craig had stated that this was a long-standing Hollywood tradition at the time. They always used real skeletons. There was never a time when they didn't use real skeletons. So he said that this was perfectly normal, nothing wrong with it. Except that maybe the actors didn't know that those were real skeletons. So in the interview with Vanity Fair, Jo Beth Williams and Craig T. Nelson spoke about filming this horrifying scene. Jo Beth said, "It was awful. First of all, they made the mud with peat, and peat begins to really stink after about a day. It begins to smell like dog feces, and so it was really icky to be in it. I'd have to scream and I'd think, oh God, I don't want to get this water in my mouth because I'm sure I'll get terrible diseases." Craig T. Nelson added, "I ended up in that pool and oh yeah, there were cadavers floating in there and strange things, amoebas. I mean, stuff had fallen in there." Documentarian Jay Cheel, who made the film Cursed Films, commented on this idea of the skeleton sparking a curse on set. He stated that this idea mirrors in the actual film of the Freeling family moving into this home that was built on top of a burial ground. It gets back to the idea of this weird fantasy of the stories we're seeing on the screen bleeding off the screen and into our own reality and affecting us in strange ways. Dominique Dunn, who played the original older sister, Dana Freeling, met a tragic and unforeseen fate. Poltergeist was released on June 4th, 1982. Dominique was slated to become the next big thing. She was set to reprise the role in the following installments of the franchise, and also just landed a starring role on the hit TV series V. Dominique was talented, eager, full of enthusiasm, easy to get along with. Her career was just taking off, and so was her love life. Dominique was dating an up-and-coming celebrity chef, John Thomas Sweeney. Sweeney was described as having a short fuse. One night, while out on a date with her boyfriend, a fan greeted and complimented Dominique on her performance in Poltergeist. Her boyfriend Sweeney attacked the fan in a jealous rage. Soon Dominique became the focus of Sweeney's short fuse rages. Actor friend Miguel Ferrer stated in an interview with E! Entertainment Television, "Sweeney beat the crap out of her. She thought she was going to die. He choked her unconscious, banged her head on the floor." Dominique decided to take action and leave Sweeney. And this is always the most crucial time in any abusive relationship. On the night before Halloween, Sweeney carved a chocolate mask for Dominique and left it on her front doorstep. She was inside rehearsing with fellow actor David Packer. Sweeney knocked on the door and asked to come inside. Dominique declined, and instead she stepped outside to continue the conversation. David Packer, still inside, testified that he heard an argument, noises, but he decided to, quote, drown out those noises by turning on the Poltergeist soundtrack sitting next to the record player. That's when David Packer heard Dominique Dunn scream. He then picked up the telephone, he called a friend, and he said, "If I die tonight, John Sweeney did it." Packer called the police and testified that he was told, "If you were any kind of man, you'd go out there and help her." He did not go out there and help her. On October 30th, 1982, Dominique Dunn was strangled by John Thomas Sweeney in the driveway of her West Hollywood home. She fell into a coma, and 5 days later, on November 4th, 1982, she was taken off life support and declared officially dead. Dominique's story is one that I will cover in more detail in a future episode of Residue. It is now the summer of 1985, and Poltergeist 2 is filming. It is now being directed by Brian Gibson. Dominique's character was sent away to college. In this installment of Poltergeist, Julian Beck played the role of the minister who comes back from the dead to haunt the Freelings. Julian was terminally ill when he took this role. His famous line that he said as he begged the Freelings to let him into their home was, "You're all going to die." Some cast and crew said that they were affected by this. Julian Beck, being terminally ill, delivered this line with frightening intensity.
"You're gonna die in there! All of you! You are gonna die!"
On September 17th, 1985, Julian Beck succumbed to cancer. Beck's death in 1985 wasn't unexpected. The cast reportedly knew he was fighting stomach cancer during filming. Nevertheless, news of Beck's passing at age 60 shocked fans and helped contribute to the idea that the films were cursed. Will Sampson, best known for his role on One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest as Chief Bromden, made one of his final performances as a shaman in Poltergeist 2. Sampson was also a real-life shaman, and on the first day of filming, he insisted on performing a Muscogee Indian blessing on the set, understanding that this was more for invoking positive energy on set and less for chasing away negative energy. Will Sampson said the skeletons were giving off a bad demonic energy and he needed to perform an exorcism. He asked for the soundstage to be left unlocked that night. At 4 a.m., he returned to the soundstage to perform an exorcism. Craig T. Nelson recalls that after the exorcism, nothing happened again on set. All was well. Like Julian Beck, Will Sampson was dealing with medical issues and underwent a heart and lung transplant. He was struggling with an autoimmune disease. Will Sampson did not live long after the high-risk procedure, passing away in June 1987 at age 53. In the spring of 1987, Heather O'Rourke had been sick for 2 years before she began filming Poltergeist 3. Heather was the only original cast member to return to the franchise. Heather O'Rourke became ill with giardiasis, which she contracted from well water at her family's home in Big Bear Lake. Doctors determined that she had Crohn's disease after this, and she was prescribed cortisone injections to treat the disease while she was filming Poltergeist 3. The steroid injections resulted in facial swelling of her cheeks, which O'Rourke's mother said that she was very self-conscious about. On January 31st, 1988, Heather O'Rourke began exhibiting flu-like symptoms. The following morning, she collapsed in her home and was rushed to community hospital. She suffered cardiac arrest, but paramedics were able to restart her heart at 9:25 a.m. She was flown to the Children's Hospital of San Diego, where it was discovered that she had intestinal stenosis and went into emergency surgery. She survived the surgery, but suffered another cardiac arrest while in the recovery room. Doctors performed CPR for over 30 minutes, but Heather was pronounced dead at 2:43 that afternoon. Heather O'Rourke's cause of death was ruled congenital stenosis of the intestine, complicated by septic shock. At this point, Heather O'Rourke was still filming Poltergeist 3, and the director was told that they either finish the film or the studio will hire someone else to finish the film. The director didn't feel comfortable finishing the film without Heather, but at that point, they didn't really have another choice. Poltergeist 3 would go on to become a huge box office failure, and director Gary Sherman said it is the least favorite of any of the films he has directed. I did see in an interview he also stated that he usually loved to go into movie theaters, sit with the audience, and kind of see their reaction. But for Poltergeist 3, he did not do that. Another freaky incident that happened to the cast of Poltergeist was actor Richard Lawson. Lawson played Ryan in the 1982 film Poltergeist, the first one. And Richard Lawson tells the story of how he was on US Air Flight 405, which had ended up crashing after takeoff from LaGuardia Airport, and this was in Queens, New York. 2/3 of the 27 people who died in the crash of US Air Flight 405 drowned when the Doom jet skidded off of a LaGuardia Airport runway on takeoff and plunged into Flushing Bay. Richard Lawson had switched seats before takeoff. A flight attendant who was a huge fan of Richard Lawson moved him up to first class, which very well could have saved his life. Lawson has stated, "I saw an orange flash of explosion, and when we finally came to rest, I was upside down, underwater, pinned in place. A voice said to him, 'Just be calm in death, don't struggle.' Then a second voice said, 'Just get out of here.'" Richard Lawson suffered only cuts and bruises from the plane crash. Lou Perry, who played Pugsley in Poltergeist, also had a strange incident happen to him. Lou Perry was an American character actor known for his roles in television and films such as The Blues Brothers, Boys Don't Cry, and The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and of course, Poltergeist. Authorities said that a Seth Christopher Tatum came upon Lou Perry's house in South Austin just by chance, and this was after Seth Christopher Tatum had attacked his own mother's ex-boyfriend with garden shears and an iron fireplace poker earlier in the day on April 1st, 2009. Seth Tatum told police that he killed Lou Perry for his car. Seth Tatum, an ex-con with a history of mental health and drug abuse problems, was sentenced to life in prison after he pleaded guilty to the murder and 2009 axe killing of Austin character actor Louis Byron Perryman. So there were many other small things that happened on the sets of all three Poltergeist films, and I just wanted to go over a couple of incidents that happened. So on the set of Poltergeist 3, and this one was directed by Gary Sherman, the cast and crew were asked to stand at a window washing rig that was suspended on the Hancock Building. So the Hancock Building was the main set for Poltergeist 3. Stuntman Ben Scott was worried because he knew of the building's deadly legacy. So when they were building the Hancock Tower, a man died for every floor that was put up. The John Hancock Center is also said to be haunted, and originally it was the second tallest building in the world when it was first completed in 1969. It has over 100 floors of offices, condos, restaurants, and more. It was named after the John Hancock Mutual Insurance Company, which funded it. And even though the business officially moved out in 2018, the name has stuck with locals. This building has a dark side, and I could probably do a whole episode on just this building. So just to give you a couple ideas of some things that have happened there, it's said to have a connection to supernatural occurrences in pop culture. So the John Hancock Center is the fifth tallest building in Chicago and the 13th tallest in the U.S. It was one of the filming locations for the 1988 film Poltergeist 3. Actor and comedian Chris Farley was found dead from an overdose in his 60th floor apartment in 1998. The Church of Satan founder Anton LaVey wrote about the building's demonic nature in the Devil's Notebook. But is it haunted? Yes, it is what the locals say. Visitors and residents have long reported seeing shadowy figures on the upper floors and hearing the murmurs of demonic voices. Some have said they even feel bizarre, not themselves, or even possessed from the moment that they step inside of this building. While filming the frozen garage scene in part 3 of Poltergeist, every possible precaution was taken. Firemen were present and they were ready with their hoses at every possible location. Once the fire itself was actually filmed, the firemen were to hose out the fire. First take, action. The fireball goes off. It looks beautiful. Gary Sherman, the director, yells, "Cut!" The fire was ominous and scary. Stuntman Ben Scott ran out of the garage with the firefighters. He was told to, quote, "let it burn." The garage was concrete and it would burn out. Ben Scott realizes that a maintenance worker was still inside of the building. So Ben Scott ran back in. He saved the worker and the cameras. The stuntman on set ran back and remembered, oh my God, we must save the cameras. We just filmed this shot. We need to keep it. He's a hero. On the set of Poltergeist, actor Oliver Robbins, who portrayed the middle Freeling child, Robbie, was strangled by the very animatronic clown that tormented his character in the film. You guys know that clown. If it weren't for the intervention of producer Steven Spielberg, he's not sure what would have happened to him. As Oliver Robbins recalled to Icons of Fright, the way they shot the sequence, they didn't really have the special effects the way they do today. So the clown doll had this extended arm and they had me act backwards in this tight, confined space under the bed. It was then that the doll's arm began to choke his neck. He said, "The contraption caught around my neck. Steven saw that, probably in the video assist, and he pulled me away from it. Who knows what might have happened otherwise. It was all very fast. Maybe I wouldn't be here today." Zelda Rubinstein played the eccentric medium Tangina Behrens. Zelda may be one of the most recognized characters from any of the Poltergeist films. While doing a photo shoot on the set of Poltergeist 3, Zelda describes that she had a chill or a volt go up her spine. She said it felt like something happened, something was off. As filming resumed that day, the producer informed the director that he received a phone call. Zelda's mother had just passed away. Proof sheets from the photo shoot came back and they revealed that one slide of Zelda is covered in a white fog, seemingly at the same exact moment that she had felt that chill go up her spine. A cameraman, George Cahoot, said that their local union number was 666. He also said that the director, Gary Sherman, lived at 666 North Lakeshore Drive. And you know, those are just some little coincidences that I thought I'd mention. In 2015, they had made a remake of Poltergeist. It was directed by Gil Keenan, and it is said that he had one of the biggest cases of shivers surrounding the Poltergeist franchise. So he wrote that the house he rented for the production was the site of some minor phenomena, like lights were flickering on and off for no reason, and other equipment was only working in certain portions of the house. He said, "I used a lot of aerial drone photography in this film, and the drone pilots were never able to lock in the GPS signal in this field. we would have to move 10 feet away to launch the drone. He states, "The house that I rented during filming was straight up legit haunted by a female dressed in all black, and I became aware of her within the first few days of staying in this house. Only after I left did I receive a call from the previous owner who had moved back in, who was terrified by the things going on in the house and wanted to see if I had experienced any of it. She was definitely there. She didn't follow me back to Los Angeles, but it followed me from set back to where I was sleeping during filming." So that's just a little history behind the film franchise, Poltergeist. So what do you think? Is it cursed? Is it haunted? Is this just a lot of those so-called curses could be nothing more than just really bad luck? Is it just people trying to create something out of nothing? Maybe to explain what happened? I went into this episode full on believing that Poltergeist was cursed, and it was just kind of because of the ramblings I had heard about it. But as I dug in, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think there's a curse. I think a lot of bad stuff happened. I think a lot of unfortunate stuff happened. But was Poltergeist cursed? I mean, I definitely think that these skeletons could have caused some kind of spiritual menace that showed up on set. And I do believe that the Hancock building was definitely haunted. But when the director picked that building, he knew it was haunted. So anything that happened on the set of Poltergeist 3, I don't think can be connected to the initial curse, in quotes, from Poltergeist. I do really believe that maybe we should have never made a part 2 or a part 3 or a remake. Okay, I'm done rambling. Stay paranoid. If you enjoyed this episode of Residue, please leave a 5-star review on any of your preferred listening platforms. Leaving a 5-star review will really help us gain new followers and new listeners. Thank you so much. And try and watch Poltergeist tonight if you can.